Good morning. Is this on? Everybody here? Now, if someone walks in an hour from now, what should we do? Should we just let it go? No, we don't want to embarrass anybody. Glad that y'all remembered to set your clocks. Some of y'all are probably here came for the early service, right? And you're just now, or that would have been, never mind. Are y'all ready to worship? Glad that you are with us this morning. You know, I was thinking, God's word says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever gone to this grocery store and you picked out grapes? And you see this bunch of grapes, and man, they look good, and they're just like big, look like they're going to be big and juicy. And then you get home and you wash them and you put that first one in your mouth. It's like, these are kind of nasty. We have to taste. It's one thing to look good on the outside, but the Lord says taste Him, to participate in your relationship with Him. And so that's what we come this morning to do, is to taste and see that the Lord is good. So I pray that's where your heart is, and we want to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you're worshiping with us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt that name that is above every name, Jesus. There is no other name by which we would be saved but Jesus. We invite you, Jesus, to send your Holy Spirit to this place. May our hearts please you. May our thoughts please you. May our praises please you. May you be glorified and exalted. May you stir our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil of victory win? There's wonder.
Come here this morning and we rejoice that there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of his grace for us, our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west, and we are washed whiter than snow. We're going to continue to celebrate this morning, and I told the early service, I know it's spring forward, all right? You may be a little tired. We all got one less hour of sleep than we're used to. But even if we're sleepy, we can fill this room with praise and worship. And in our hearts, we take that journey to connect with the living God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. So we're going to sing about that amazing grace, that amazing love that God offers to each and every one of us this morning. Feel free to put those hands together. Sing out loud for joy.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose blood is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, then leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Let's sing it out.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings
our chaos back in? Order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
There's only one worthy, it's Jesus Christ. Let's sing it out to Him. You are worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. I sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I sing for all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me.
Amen, amen. Let's give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated, and at this time, children, y'all come on forward for your children's sermon.
Mm-hmm. How are y'all?
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey, how are y'all doing? Good to see y'all. Good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all excited about today? Who's excited about spring break? Everybody got lots of plans and doing fun stuff? Yeah. All right. Well, good. I'm excited. Yeah. So, okay. So, question. What part of the body do we use to think with? The what? The brain. Everybody point to your brain. Everybody point to your brain. Oh, that's right. Did you know our brains weigh less than 3 pounds? And it's about the size of a grapefruit. You love grapefruits? Yeah. Our brains are 1,000 times more powerful than the most powerful computer. How many of you have a computer at your house and it does lots of stuff, right? But our brains are more powerful than that. Do we use our brains all the time? Yes. Yes. We think, we make decisions, and we think about everything. So what are some things that you might think about? You're thinking right now. Did you know that?
I'm thinking about things that I would think about.
Okay, you're thinking about things you would think about. Do you think about what you're going to do for spring break? Do you think about what you're going to wear? Do you think about the weather? Do you think about the food? Do you think about going to school? Do you think about learning to read and write and do math and all that kind of stuff, right? Oh, man, we use our brains all day long. And they just keep working and working and working and working, right? Give you ideas. That's right. Well, so we're using our brains. Well, you know, there is someone that we should be thinking about that's the most important person to think about. Do you know who that might be? What? God, Jesus. That's right. We need to think about Jesus. Do you think about Jesus?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Hmm? Most of the time? Do y'all think about Jesus? Yeah? Okay. Well, that's good that you think about Jesus. You know, sometimes we get busy, and guess what? We don't think about Jesus. We don't think about God. We just don't think about him. Doesn't mean we don't love him, you know, or care. We just don't think about him. So we need to use our brains to think about him. Don't you think so? Yeah. So this week, while you're out doing all your fun stuff on spring break, whatever you're going to be doing, at some point this time, could you think about Jesus? Mm-hmm. Would you say Jesus? Could y'all just say Jesus for me right now? Jesus. Y'all were just thinking about Jesus, right? But some of the things that you can think about Jesus is that he was kind. Did you know Jesus was kind? Yeah. He was loving. He was caring. That's right. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was powerful. Did you know Jesus calmed the storm? He walked on the water. He made sick people well, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. You can think about those things. Think about all the things that Jesus did. Think about God's beautiful world. If you're outside this week and you see the trees and the flowers, I think there's flowers. Is there flowers blooming yet? Maybe. Okay, but there's trees and there's maybe some grass. But think about how God created the world and he had a plan for his son Jesus to come into this world. We can think about Jesus' great love for us. Jesus loved us so much that Jesus died on the cross for each one of us. So this week, can you think about Jesus?
Yes, ma'am.
Every day, will you think about Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes, more than once a day. More than once a day, maybe? Yes, okay. So it says in Hebrews 3:1, it says, "Holy brothers and sisters, God chose you to be his disciples. So keep thinking about Jesus." The Bible tells us to keep thinking about Jesus. So always have Jesus on your mind. Can y'all do that this week?
Yes.
All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love for us. And just bless us as we move through this week and just watch over us. And help us as we go through each day, Lord, that we would be reminded of your great love for us and your great power and just your truth, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your love and thank you for these boys and girls in your precious son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Let's go this way. You ready?
Good morning, church. Would you rise with me as we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So in the preparations for doing prayer time today, I was kind of struggling through, and I normally don't really plan a lot of this because I feel in these regards, the less I plan, the more God shows up. And so before early service, I was like, all right, God, what is this supposed to be? What are we supposed to pray on today? And I kept hearing spring break. And so I wasn't really sure. I was like, well, safety on spring break, God? Like, what? You got to clarify a little more. And so finally, it kind of narrowed down to we're not on break, even though it's spring break. And so I wanted to bring up a few different things. First off, I'd ask for continued prayer and support. We have a medical missions team in Panama right now. They have been there since yesterday, and they are now traveling to their destination. And if I was a prepared person, I would have had it pulled up and ready to go. They are headed to El Teran, however you pronounce it, and that's where they'll be doing most of their mission work. And so they'll be there until Thursday. And so from now until Thursday, they will be in the heart of Panama, and they will be ministering to anybody and everybody that they can. They'll be preaching the gospel to the kids there. They will be helping people with medical problems and doing as much as they can in that regard. And so I definitely think that we as a church continue to lift them up in prayer, not only for God to show up in a mighty and powerful way, but also for safety. Obviously, they travel a long way. They're traveling a lot. And so there's safety in travels. There's safety in just their location and the people around them as well. And so I would ask that you join me in that. But then the other half of my God challenging me and hopefully challenging y'all as well came, and he said, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. And so I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? And so I really felt a strong conviction that today we are supposed to have the same challenge and the same call. And that call will be out of reading Romans 10, verses 13 through 17 this morning. And it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him if they have not believed in him? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ. And so that was the challenge that I felt in my heart this morning, and it's a challenge for me, hopefully just as much as you guys. And that is, even though we're not on a medical mission trip to Panama, we have the same responsibility, church. And so I pray, as we go into prayer, that is the prayer this focus this morning. We'll pray for not only the mission team, but I pray that we have our own opportunities to engage the people that don't know Jesus in our neighborhoods. If you're going on vacations this week, I pray that you have encounters and opportunities to present the gospel to people that you're in the airport with, that you're on vacation with, however that may be. So will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the wonderful opportunity and privilege it is to be your hands and feet. And sometimes, God, we take too much pressure on ourselves. As it says in Acts, God's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, God. You don't need us to spread the gospel, but it's a beautiful privilege that we have to work alongside you, bringing souls to know you and know your work. And God, I just pray that as the mission team is in Panama this week, God, I pray for protection. God, I pray for your spirit to show up in mighty, powerful, unforeseen ways. God, and I pray that you not only bless Panama, but I pray that you bless the team that was sent. And God, I can't wait to hear the stories of how you rocked that community with your love and your kindness and mercy. God, but I pray that that doesn't stop there. I pray that you place a special hunger and anointing on our church this week to reach out for the lost in our community. God, I pray that you will put people on our mind that don't know you. I pray that you will put people on our hearts that we need to go speak to and begin that conversation. God, I pray that you give us boldness. I pray that you give us courage and wisdom to have those conversations. And God, I pray that most of all is when those conversations arise that we don't rely on ourselves to do it. God, I pray that we rely on you, the ultimate giver of peace and strength, to have those conversations. And God, I just pray that we see it just as much as a mission for us to spread the gospel and spread the good news here in our local community. God, we just thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for this season of Lent as we begin to look forward to the cross, where we focus and look at our own inward struggles and our own sins. And God, I just thank you for the fact that none of that matters because of your Son. I thank you that none of that matters because your Son died on a cross and came back to life and left our sins in the grave. I just pray that we allow ourselves to focus on the fact of your goodness and your mercy over the next few weeks as we get ready for Easter. But God, I pray that that doesn't stop at Easter. I pray that you allow us to continue to listen in for that voice that you have inside of all of us, a voice challenging us and encouraging us to push harder, push deeper, and get closer to you. I just pray that we continue in your instruction, continue in your teaching. And God, I just pray that you will allow us to continue in your ways, even in the ways we pray in which you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I have one more thing to add to that, and this just kind of popped into my head, which normally means it's not me. I would love at next week for you to find Pastor Jeff or Pastor Billy or myself and say, hey, I took up that challenge. I spoke to this person this week. I mean, we'd love to hear it. And so that's a challenge to you guys. We'd love to hear about the stories because I don't think you should hide that. I don't think it should be something small, something insignificant. Sharing the gospel is our mission. So we would love to hear it if you want to share it next week. But that's your challenge. Go share with someone that you know that needs the gospel this week. Don't forget, as we move into our next area, a time of worship, the offering plates are on the kneeling rail and on the altar. You can give your tithes now, or you can give electronically by following the instructions on the screen.
You're the God who
fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. By day, it's the sign that you are with me. A fire by night, it's the guiding light to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the water for my release. Oh, Yahweh. Sing it out, you're the God. You're the God who fights for me. Lord of every victory, hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're the God, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of all you've done. And death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. Cause you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God, and I'll sing of what you've done. And death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. Cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We have a new song for you this morning. For many of you, you probably never heard this song, but it's a beautiful song called Spirit of the Living God. And it should be our prayer that the Lord would come in this place, the Spirit of the Living God would light up our hearts and light up this room. And there's this great line in the chorus that says, God, when you speak and when you move, when you do what only you can do, it changes us. It changes what we see and what we seek. And so my prayer this morning is that because we meet with the Spirit of the Living God in this place and with this community of believers here, that we are changed, that we don't leave this room the same way as we came in, but we are refined by the presence of a holy God and His love for us, and we are changed to be more Christ-like in our character and to go out and share the love of God in the world. So make this your prayer, or as you catch on, start singing along and worship the Lord through this new song this morning.
Come into
into the room. When you do what only you can do, it changes us, changes what we see, what we see. Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice. We're hanging on every word. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We'll come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence,
well, good morning again. You surviving? Surviving this hour? If you know, I have a great view. If anybody falls asleep, I have a great view. I'm just saying. Just saying. A few things. First of all, if you are our guest this morning, we are really blessed that you are with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, the blue card, blue stripe on it says guest. Would love for you to fill that out, and certainly don't have to do that, but I would love to meet you at the down at this end of the foyer after the service. I have a free gift for our guests, and would love to get to know you just a little bit and hope you can meet me down there. A few things this week with spring break. Our scheduled ministries that we have during the week are we're going to take a break this week, including our Monday prayer time that many of you come to that. We've got Tuesday Bible studies that will be put off for a week, and then our Wednesday night activities will be put off for a week. So just enjoy your spring break with your family, and we'll pick up with our ministries next week. Also, if you have not had an opportunity to sign the Sanctity of Life, the Sanctuary City petition that's we're trying to get to our city. There's a table out here where you can do that. You need to reside in the city of Abilene, and if you signed it before when we kind of did this before, don't sign it again. We had to have these are rough numbers, but we had to have about 6,500 registered voters to sign that petition. And we came up with, I think, over 7,500. And when the city was validating those, they kicked out 1,200 of them. And so we've got 10 days to get back over that threshold of 6,500. I think we need about 600 valid signatures. So the pastors that are involved in that and getting the word out, we're putting that back out, trying to grab those last 600, and we need to get those submitted. Now, I told the early service, I know there's probably different opinions on this issue and all, but let me just tell you where your pastor's at. I believe that we are created, we have a loving creator, that God has created us. In fact, it says in the word that he knit us together in our womb. Now, that's pretty strong. That's a pretty strong message for life. If God's in the business of creating in the womb, then we need to, I believe we need to stand with life. And if that rubs someone the wrong way, I'm sorry, but I'd rather answer to my Lord than to you. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude, but that's just where I'm at. I will stand for life. I will boldly stand for life. And I hope that you will join me in that. Romans chapter 7 is where we are today. Romans chapter 7. Now, this we're going to pick it up in verse 15, and I'm going to skip a few verses just to have more clarity in the message today. But this was written by the Apostle Paul. This is God's guy, okay? This is God's guy. I mean, God transformed his life and gave him the task of taking the gospel, taking the good news to the Gentiles. And if you look at your New Testament, over half of the New Testament is attributed to the Apostle Paul. And so, I don't know, it gives me hope when I read these words. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul says this, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do." Now, I know that none of us struggle in that same way, right? So we could probably just all dismiss and go home, right? Maybe not. Verse 18, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Verse 22, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." And then he concludes, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then we're going to skip over to chapter 8, just a few verses ahead. "Therefore," now you remember when you see the word therefore, what do? You go back and read why it's there for. "Therefore," and so what he's basically saying is, "Therefore, since you have been rescued by Jesus Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you promise that you are with us when two or three are gathered in your name. And we're here. And we know that you are trustworthy and that you are good for your promises. So, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would be here and would speak to us. Speak in power and power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm concluding the series today, Hope When Life Hurts. Hope When Life Hurts. And today's message is Hope for Guilt and Shame. Now, I want to talk about those words for a second, guilt and shame. Guilt and shame is different than conviction. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But guilt and shame. So I ran across this definition of shame, and I really, really, really like this, and I want to read this to you. Shame. Shame is the feeling. That right there tells you a lot. The feeling. Shame is the feeling that we have missed the mark according to our own standard, or our perception of someone else's standard for us. Is that true, church? Fear of shame drives us to perfectionism in all areas of our lives, so that there would be no imperfection to be noticed and judged. Don't you love that? We have this standard that we place upon ourselves, and we let the world place upon us. And when we don't measure up to that, we basically are shamed. And the fear of that is this motivation to always try to earn God's favor. And it's just this vicious loop. So our community group this past week, we were actually in Romans 6, but all this. We're talking about this being, you know, and Romans 6 talks about, by the way, read Romans. What a great book that is. But it Romans 6 talks about this, that we are slaves. We're slaves, every one of us. We're either slaves to sin and death, or we're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves to Jesus. We have allegiance to one or the other. Listen, and so I want to come back to that, but listen, in 2 Corinthians, this sums up this whole conviction and guilt and shame, how these things work together. First of all, 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow. Now, he's speaking of conviction. God convicts, but he never shames. Godly sorrow, which is conviction, brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. That is a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. Godly sorrow is a good thing because it leads to repentance and salvation and no regret. But then it goes on to say, but worldly sorrow, and that's guilt and shame, worldly sorrow brings death. And so, it's important for us to understand that what the difference is between guilt and shame and conviction. So I'm going to jump right in here to some points that unpack this a little bit. We can overcome guilt and shame if we recognize the source. Now, I've talked about this pretty much every week of this series, that, you know, things like guilt and shame, things like fear, depression, those things, they're not of God. Those things are not, when we are fearful, that is not from God. When we feel guilt and shame, that is not from God. Now, if you go, we talked about this a lot more last week. I'm going to hit it, just the highlights today. But back in the garden, from the very beginning, before the fall, before we know that Adam and Eve were disobedient to the Lord and ate of the fruit that he told them not to. So before the fall, here's what it says, Genesis 2. The man and his wife were both naked, and here it is. They felt no shame. Shame had not entered the picture. And then, moving over to chapter 3, after the fall, after they had disobeyed God and done what was not pleasing in his sight, Genesis 3:8, then the man and his wife hid, there it is, they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, but the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden," here it is, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So there's this fear, there's this shame of when sin entered the picture. Shame, fear, guilt, all those things entered with it. Fear, guilt, and shame are not from God. They entered in by sin when we were seduced by our enemy, the devil. Flashing forward to New Testament, these are the words of Christ. And he has gone to the cross. He's been resurrected, and he's preparing to return to the Father, and he's also telling the disciples that he will be sending the Holy Spirit. And here's what he says: when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So there's this conviction that happens through the Holy Spirit. So if we don't understand that guilt and shame comes from an enemy, someone who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, if we don't get that first, we're sitting ducks. We're sitting ducks. All right, let's move on to point two. We can overcome guilt and shame if we realize by God's grace we are not condemned. If we realize by God's grace we are not condemned. In this Romans 8, 1 and 2 that we just read, therefore, since you've been rescued by Christ, since we are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ, since we have been rescued by Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So there it is. We've got, are we slaves to sin and death? Are we slaves to Jesus and his righteousness? This is a hard point to unpack, and I'm going to give it a shot here. We talked a lot about this Wednesday night in our community group. But the struggle is, okay, and Paul even answers it. I mean, he asks the very same question in Romans, but he says that we can't out-sin grace. Is this on? Chris, is this on? We can't out-sin grace, because Paul tells us in Romans that the more sin increases, the more grace increases. But then he goes on to say, but this, I'm struggling here because I want the things I want to do are not the things I do. The things I don't want to do are the things I do. And he's talking about this battle, but yet he says that we are no longer slaves to sin and death. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and we can't out-sin grace, but I'm still struggling. What the heck? It's in there. It's in my version. So you ever wrestled with that? No, y'all all have it. Y'all are all theologians, and so y'all need to help me. But here's the way it makes sense in my mind, and I believe this is in line with God's word. I believe if you look at yourself and you just kind of split yourself right down the middle, and you have the spirit and you have the flesh. We're all made up of spirit and flesh. And spiritually, when we receive the grace that is offered in faith through Christ, spiritually, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. God, when he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's who you are. You are the righteousness of Christ. He sees no difference between you and Christ because you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But here's the rub. So we're up here spiritually. God sees us as he sees Christ. But we got this old nasty old flesh over here that's battling with us. And I said it in the early service. This came to me a few years ago. But what, and this, the fancy word is sanctification, where God is, through his Holy Spirit, he's rooting out sin in the flesh to try to, so that our flesh would match up with our spirit. And that's this ongoing sanctification process through the Holy Spirit. And I believe that, here's the line that came to me a few years ago. We are becoming what we already are. Hello. Somebody needs a t-shirt that says that. We are becoming what we already are. Our flesh is in this maturing process to match with the Spirit. Now, some of you pastors may afterwards may pull me as like, I don't see it that way, Hatcher. But that's how it makes sense to me, is that there's this, that's what Paul's talking about, and he says it right here. Let's see. I'm trying to find it. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. What he's talking about, this flesh. This flesh is what he's saying is, Lord, I know I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I know I'm a new creation in Christ, in the Spirit. But this annoying flesh is driving me crazy. Who will rescue me, Lord? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We keep pressing into him so that we will become what we already are. I hope that helps some of you. We realize by God's grace, we are not condemned. So while we're in this battle of sanctification in our flesh is being sanctified, that there is no condemnation. God gets it. Now, it's not and this is another question that Paul answers in Romans. So the people that are really just trying to check the boxes and work the system, did you know that people in Christianity can try to work the system? Yeah. It's like, oh, so great, I can't out-sin grace, so hey, let's party. Let's get it on. Let's do it. No. If Christ is really, if we're really a new creation, everything in us should be wanting to please him, should be wanting to press into him. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus says, you will know the truth. And by the way, what is the truth? He identifies himself as the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We need to realize by God's grace, we are not condemned. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's not this free pass to go out and sow sin. I don't know about you. There's another passage in Romans. I'd have to look up the exact verse, but where it says this means something very special. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. It's not this Lord who stands over you and cracks the whip and said, "Get it together, Hatcher." No, for me, it was this compassionate, merciful God that said, "You're a mess. You're a mess, but I love you." Which leads me to my final point. We can overcome guilt and shame if we rejoice that we are loved extravagantly. Don't you love that word, extravagantly? There's a song, "Your Love is Extravagant." I love that. 1 John, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. It's not like that is what we hope to be. That's not what it says. That's what we are. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We're a new creation. We've been crucified with Christ. We've participated with him in his death and resurrection to new life. We want to overcome guilt and shame. We need to rejoice that we are loved extravagantly by our Heavenly Father. I'm going to read this story. Many of you know some about this story probably, but I read about it when it happened and my heart broke for this family, but I read some more on it this weekend. And I really feel like the Lord wanted me to share this when we're thinking of loving extravagantly, being loved extravagantly. So I'm just going to read a few paragraphs here to you. In May of 2008, Grammy-winning Christian singer-songwriter Stephen Curtis Chapman's family suffered an unthinkable loss. Chapman's youngest daughter, Maria Sue, was hit in the driveway of her family's Franklin, Tennessee home by an SUV driven by her teenage brother. The brother, Will Franklin Chapman, apparently did not see the girl. Maria Sue was care-flighted to Vanderbilt University Medical Center, but later died of her injuries. Just hours before, this close-knit family was celebrating the engagement of the oldest daughter, Emily, and were just hours away from a graduation party marking Caleb Chapman's completion of high school. Now they were preparing to bury a child who blew out 5 candles on a birthday cake less than 10 days earlier. Will, the brother that hit his sister, later said that moments after the tragedy, he just started running because he could not face the reality of what had just happened. He didn't get very far, though, before his older brother tackled him to hug him, love on him, and pray over him. It was in that moment, as his driver was speeding him away to the hospital, that Stephen Curtis Chapman rolled down his passenger window and screamed as loud as he humanly could, "Will Franklin, your father loves you." If an earthly father can love like that, how much must our heavenly Father love us? When life hurts, you don't have to respond with guilt and shame, which is from the enemy, because you have a heavenly Father that loves you no matter what. No matter what. I want to ask you to bow your heads. I want to ask you to repeat a sentence here in just a moment. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to be bold and say this out loud. It's just a sentence. I want you to put your first name where I'm going to put my first name. And I want you to say this sentence with your name in the first word. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to ask you to repeat it with your name. Jeff, your heavenly Father loves you. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. And I would add, no matter what. Father, I can't imagine how deep your love is for us. And Father, I don't know about anybody else, but I know I'm not worthy of that. I have failed you over and over and over. And my best days, as your word says, my best days, my best moments are but filthy rags. You love me not at my best, but you love me at my worst. And I know, Father, you love us. Your love is extravagant. And there is therefore no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. Father, if there are people today carrying around this burden of shame and guilt for perhaps something they've done, perhaps something that's been done to them, perhaps for really no reason at all, just the enemy planting those thoughts in their mind, I pray, God, that they would lay it down at your feet. Jesus, you said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We need rest. We need rest, and we need hope from this guilt and shame that's not from you. Thank you, Lord, that your love is extravagant and that you have lavished your love on us, and we are your children. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, as we close out our service, the altar rail is open. I will be around after church as well if anybody needs to pray. I will also remind you that I'll be out at the foyer to meet our guests. if you'll rise if you're able as we close. Petition, I'll have the table right out there for you. Hear these words. How great is the Father's love that He has lavished on us, that you should be called a child of God, and that is what you are. Amen. Say your first name. Your Heavenly Father loves you. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.